Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about Apple once again, because in the space of 2 months, I think we've had like 3 major keynotes from Apple, and all of these have been delivered virtually in those amazing looking locations, sets over at Apple Park in California. So this is like, I think, a very unusual year even for Apple, considering that first of all their keynotes are virtual, a global pandemic is going on, and yet they are launching products at like a breathtaking pace. And I think WWDC was the first one where we had a lot of major things to discuss, then the iPhone event, and now this one, which focused mostly on stuff that maybe, you know, only nerds care about a lot. For most people, it's not going to be that big a change from what we can see so far, but I am probably wrong about that. And to prove me wrong, we have our friend of the podcast, Apple expert, and a person whose designation keeps changing every time we speak, Prishit Devarukkar.
Hi, Tanmay. How are you?
I'm great. How did you recognize me? I mean, I thought, you know, like my identity was hidden. Gangadhari, Shaktimane, etc.
Well, I've been on the podcast 3 times in a row now, so I'm getting a hang of it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm Tanmay Sonavne. I'm the developer of Sur and multiple other apps such as Vero SMS. No, I'm not. I'm actually the host, Pranay Parab. And Tanmay is actually with us in spirit. He joined us once on the WWDC podcast. And since then, he's not been able to join us for various reasons, which are unfortunate. Would have loved to have him here. But, well, Prishit keeps invoking him again and again. So, well, here we are. So, in today's episode, like I said, we are going to be discussing all things Apple announced at the most recent keynote, which involved a lot of talk about Macs. Now, the Mac series has been on the verge of a transition for a very long time, according to various leaks and rumors, and finally it's happening, which is going from Intel-powered processors and chipsets to Apple's own silicon. Now, we've already seen Apple silicon on various devices that you may or may not have heard of, such as the iPhone, iPad, and a bunch of other, you know, devices that have maybe been forgotten, you know, iPod Touch, anybody. So these devices have already had Apple processors, and they've been doing fairly well. Year on year, we've been seeing benchmarks and we've been seeing what kind of results they can deliver. And now Apple has decided that, okay, the MacBook lineup is something that could use this, and same with the Mac Mini as well. So Apple primarily announced maybe 3 things, we can say, 3 products specifically at this event. Number one was the MacBook Air, which is the same MacBook Air as before, except now I think you don't have that Intel powered processor in there. It's the Apple M1 chip, and you had a new MacBook Pro, and you had a new Mac Mini. So all of these are powered by Apple's M1 chip, which is what we are going to be talking about first. Now, a lot of things have changed with this chip. I think the number one thing that people would be interested in is that it's the first 5-nanometer architecture chip in maybe the world of laptops and desktops. And the second thing is that this chip is some kind of an engineering marvel of sorts, where, you know, the RAM and the GPU is also integrated into the chipset itself, which is apparently new. So was I right about that?
I think so. This is the first chip which is essentially a system on a chip. So typical desktops and laptops have different processors or different chips for different tasks, whereas this one has the entire thing on a single system. So that's why it's unique. And like you said, it's a first 5-nanometer chip for PCs. Let's just say that this is something that Intel has been trying to do for a few years now and hasn't managed to do that. So Apple reached there first, and it's supposed to be a big deal.
Yeah, true that. And the conventional wisdom is like, it's much harder to go from like a desktop class or a server grade processor to this, which is building like a, you know, very powerful, very power efficient chip for laptops, versus going the other way around, which is starting from a smartphone level chip and going, you know, higher up to the laptops. It's not like this is an easy thing, or like Apple was able to achieve this overnight. I'm pretty sure like it would have involved maybe years of testing and ideation and whatnot before they reached a stage where they are shipping it in actual products. But it's, you know, impressive nonetheless, whatever they've claimed so far. We obviously haven't tested these products yet. So I think the M1 chip itself is only a part of the discussion. Along with the M1, we can maybe also talk about the fact that now we finally know why macOS Big Sur just skipped that 10.16 naming and went straight away to 11, simply because it is maybe the first one to natively support the M1 chip. What is your guess on that front?
Yeah, I think they had planned it very carefully that they were going to redesign the entire interface and look of the OS, as well as transition to from Intel to this M1 series of chips that they're going to bring. So very carefully transition that they've planned here. And Big Sur, if you ask me, it's too much of a change for me to actually dive in on the day one. So I'm going to hold out at least for a 2 weeks or so and see what the reviews are about the OS, and then maybe upgrade my Mac.
Yeah, true that. I mean, I completely see where you're coming from. I've been using Big Sur for a while now. Not maybe actively. It's on a second MacBook that I have with me, which I've just basically been using to run the Big Sur beta. So
Lucky
again,
you.
full disclosure here, the reason I've not been using it as my primary OS is because I have, like, my work Mac has a lot of my data, and if I'm going to upgrade it to Big Sur Beta and something goes wrong or some of my apps don't work, then I will be in a lot of trouble, let's just say that. And also, this is a pandemic year, everyone knows that. So, getting a replacement machine or getting things fixed in this year is, in general, a lot more difficult or, risky than before. So, that's why I've been using it on a secondary Mac. So, my impressions are like basically from like all my tinkering with that OS, but I've not used it as my daily driver. So whatever I'm saying, people should take it with a maybe like a tiny little pinch of salt and do what Precious is doing, which is just see if other people have complaints before upgrading. So
I think software compatibility is a major factor for my weight because
yeah.
I do rely on a few softwares that haven't been updated for a few years, and I don't want Big Sur to break compatibility with those softwares.
Yeah, true that. And you know what? Like, this is a major problem for macOS apps. Many of these apps take their own sweet time to update to the latest versions of macOS. And even with relatively minor upgrades between two version numbers, like, sometimes the compatibility is missing. And there's nothing you can do about it except just wait and watch, see if it is compatible before, making the upgrade. With
Especially
IO, yeah.
now that Apple is just dropping the new releases to developers, saying that, hey, it's gonna launch tomorrow, or hey, it's gonna launch in 48 hours.
Yeah.
So, like, we discussed this in the iOS podcast, wherein Apple just dropped iOS 14 the very next day. And even for Big Sur, Apple just gave them 48 hours of notice that, keep your apps ready for the Mac App Store.
It's 100% more time than what they gave for iOS developers, who are probably 100% more in number than macOS developers, or maybe more actually. But
Much more than that.
anyway, so with Big Sur, I'll just quickly highlight what I like about this. Well, it's gonna be a bit controversial, but I do enjoy some of the elements of iOSification of macOS. The reason I say this is because some features they should have been there in macOS for a very long time. For example, the Messages app. Now, I think it's almost on par in terms of features with the iOS version. So I am a big user of iMessage, and this makes a huge difference to me. So having message effects load properly instead of, a small box, a gray text over there showing that this message was sent with some effects or whatever. Like, the effect actually loading in iMessage, that is a big deal for me. And similarly, Safari has also improved quite a bit. Now, Apple says that performance is better, power efficiency is better on Safari. That's good to hear. I mean, again, that's the kind of thing you can only tell if you are already using Safari on your laptop on Catalina, and then you upgrade to Big Sur and you notice some improvements. But if Apple is claiming it, usually they've been on the ball with these claims. So I am inclined to believe
Yeah.
them on that front. And Safari also has some lovely new privacy features as well, such as that privacy report thing. And you can customize the start page as well, put a wallpaper, change the layout of things, which is again a nice touch. What else about Big Sur? Voice Memos also has some lovely new features. They have this one thing called Enhanced Recordings, which is also there on iOS 14. It's come to macOS Big Sur because of whatever that thing is called. The iOS apps being converted to macOS apps. I forgot the name of that technology that they use. Catalyst, is that it?
Catalyst, yeah.
Yeah, so these Catalyst apps are like bringing feature parity between Mac and iOS. So I'm happy about that. But the final thing I want to touch upon is the biggest Big Sur feature, the one that I like the most. It is faster software updates. So I think I'm running Catalina, and there's one update that's been bothering me for the last 6 months. I haven't bothered to like hit update on my Mac simply because it takes way too long to update, even for minor version updates like 10.15.6 to 10.15.7. It would take about 30 to 45 minutes to install, depending on your luck, basically. So with Bixer, they've changed that. Apparently, it downloads most of the updates in the background, and the installation process itself is not that long. It happens much faster. So I will definitely be
Interesting.
more inclined to upgrading macOS versions once I get to Bixer on my primary machine. So, yeah. A lot of these things have changed, but what I'm looking forward to is using, Bixer on one of those Apple M1 MacBooks or maybe a Mac Mini, because you can run iOS apps on a Mac, and I have bought so many iOS games that I could finally be a Mac gamer. So I feel happy about that, just the thought of it.
What's your take on Apple letting developers opt out of that?
Well, I think it's all right. I mean, if the developer doesn't feel comfortable giving their app basically for free on another platform, or maybe they don't feel comfortable with the optimization of their app for a different platform. Sure. But how do
I
you
think
feel about it?
I think a bunch of people that I know have opted out of that feature. So I don't know. Like maybe day one we won't see too many iPhone apps there, but gradually, as and when they get their hands on an M1 Mac and see how people are actually using it and taking it, we might see more apps coming to the Mac.
Yeah, I would love to see how that is implemented, which is why I said that a lot of the things that we are saying today is without using any of these M1 Macs, right? So
Yeah.
the one M1 Mac I really, really want to use is the Mac Mini, because my dream setup is like Mac Mini connected to a lovely big monitor, and me having like a nice controller hooked up to it and my games working on that. But I'm not sure if things will work out that easily in reality.
True, true.
Yeah. Actually, I'm not even sure if the PlayStation 4 or Xbox controllers will work on macOS Big Sur. I know they work with iOS 14.
iPad, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see how those things pan out, and we'll see if I can become a Mac gamer in the future. But
I mean,
anyway.
you could always buy an iPad Pro and connect that to your big screen.
Yeah, well, that is an option too, but I think this Mac Mini thing is just cheaper than that. Yeah. So speaking of which Mac do you want to talk about first, Prashit? Like, I'll give a brief introduction of that before you do, though.
Yeah.
So.
So let's start with the MacBook Air because that's what I'm personally considering getting till the next big lineup of Macs land.
Okay. So I think it's time for a short introduction. So Prashit has been like using one Mac that's basically been hobbling along for the last 3.5 years or so. With various issues, and he's just been telling me, "No, I'm gonna upgrade when Apple makes the big change to Macs, and Apple Silicon is coming." And before that, it was, "No, they're gonna announce something big in 6 months, so I'll wait for that." So finally, that day is here, and Preshit has been like sending me screenshots of like his cart, where he's added some machine that costs 1,30,000 or something, and he's just showing me, "Hey, I really want to get this one." So I thought that was a MacBook Pro, though. I thought you'll pick that one first.
That's what I mean. So, although I wish this was true, this is still not the machine that I do want to buy. This is just the machine I'm thinking of buying in the interim. Because, like you said, I have a 2016 MacBook Pro model, and the one with the terrible keyboard, the first of the lot. And I've been using it for a bit about 4 years now, and the keyboard has issues. The OS itself has a few bugs, wherein I use two external displays with it, and one of them is rotated 90 degrees. And every time the Mac goes to sleep and it wakes up, the display is back to its original position. So even though the display is vertical, the actual display on it is in, rotated 90 degrees. So I have to keep changing that every time I wake the Mac from sleep. There are some sound issues with it. So there's a bunch of different problems. My camera doesn't work. So all these issues are there, and I've been just chugging it along. And hoping that Apple releases like a very good pro machine that doesn't cost 6 lakhs, which is the Mac Pro. So unfortunately, although the M1 chip and these new three products that they announced yesterday, although they are good, it's still not that pro machine which, you know, which will replace the current Mac that I have, because I do a lot of work on videos, converting videos and editing videos, and using the M1 Mac with two external displays, just, I don't know, I don't think it'll be helpful in the long run. So the reason I'm considering a MacBook Air is because, one, I do want to dive in on the M1 chip and see what the experience is of using iOS apps and all those features. And I figured it'll be a good handy machine, something I can just like sit on the couch and type in an article or two.
Well, I've been thinking that the MacBook Air is like a pretty expensive starting point, right, for that new machine. So, I mean, I'm aware of the fact that the MacBook Air used to cost 92,900 rupees, the 2020 MacBook Air, the Intel powered one, which cannot be found on Apple's website anymore. And
Yeah, they stopped selling that.
this is at the exact same starting price. So, I think that it's a bit on the expensive side for what it is.
You could look at it like that, but then the way I look at it is, I want something which is closer to the iPad in terms of experience, wherein it has a fanless design, it's very lightweight, but still gives me access to macOS and all the apps that I usually use in my day-to-day life. So it's a bit of a trade-off, and the MacBook Pro 13-inch, which has the M1 ch chip now, that has a fan inside, and I'm guessing because it gives better performance, it's also going to heat up much more than this. And ultimately, the ideal machine that I want to replace the current one is a 16-inch MacBook Pro with whatever the M2 or the M1X chip that they launch maybe a few months later. But I don't know if I can wait that long and continue using this machine. So my current option is to just get an Intel iMac, or just pick the Air, and at least the content part of my workflow can be taken care of.
Why not the Mac Mini, though?
That's a good question. So I'm just too used to the portability that the current MacBook Pro gives me. So let's say if I have to just take it somewhere, if I'm traveling, although which is not much these days, but at least within the house, if I'm sitting on a couch, if I'm sitting on a table, I can just pick it up and work from there. So the Mac Mini ideally is a very nice machine, and like you mentioned in your case, it does make sense connecting to a big display and using it. I would have loved to do that, but I've been using a portable Mac for the last 4 years, so I can't just move to a Mac Mini right away.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I just mentioned it because you said one of your options is an Intel powered iMac. So this is where the alternative comes in.
True, true. But then the iMac gives me the option of a dedicated GPU, which is helpful when editing videos and converting them from one format to the other. The Mac Mini, if it supported an external GPU, I might have, you know, still given it a consideration. But since the M1 chip specifically does not support external GPUs, it's
Yet.
out of the question. Exactly.
Yeah, so anyway, so to give you some good news, I saw a report on Gadgets 360 today which said that the MacBook Air with the M1 processor in Geekbench benchmarks beats the 16-inch MacBook Pro. So that's the MacBook Air with 8 GB RAM.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, everyone knew that whatever Apple's going to announce, whatever they are going to name the chip, it's going to blow the competition out of the way. So, it's no surprise there that, you know, we are seeing these Geekbench scores. I saw a tweet that basically showed five or six different Geekbench results, each with around the same numbers. And so, if these results are better than the latest Mac that they offer, imagine how better it will be compared to my 2016 model.
Yeah, true that. So, yeah, but that way, if you look at it now, the performance that you're getting and the efficiency that Apple is promising, I think longer battery life is also one of the promises, right, with these products. So, they've launched the same thing, basically the same shell with new internals at the same price. I would see that as an upgrade. But as you know, a starting point, like the first base level laptop that you offer at 92,900 rupees. That still is a bit too much. Like a 2017 MacBook Air, the one that I use right now, mine is a 2015 model, but basically the 2017 or 2018 MacBook Air, whenever it was last refreshed, the one with the non-retina display, that hit the sweet spot in terms of a starting price for an Apple laptop at 60,000 or so.
60,000, yeah.
Yeah, and like I think the MRP was something like 70 something, and you could easily get it for 60, 65 online at various points, and I know people who've got it for 50 also, but let's assume the 60, 65,000 is a good starting point for Apple laptops. They really should launch something there. Like I know the Mac Mini starts at 64,900 rupees, which is in that price bracket, but like you said, Preshit, I mean, it's not really a machine for everybody. If you need like a if you need a desktop machine at home because you're working from home or something, and you don't like to work from the couch, you have a nice ergonomic chair, and you have a nice desk, and you know all these fancy things that people don't really have access to in Bombay because of a lack of space, then yeah, sure, it'll work for you. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a very, very good machine. But for most people, having that laptop and the freedom to just like A, work from different locations in the house, or B, carry it with you whenever you go somewhere. Not like anyone goes anywhere these days, but still, that freedom is also very valuable. So
I wish it had more ports though. I know there's like two ports on it, but maybe one additional port on the right hand side would have really helped.
Yeah, true that. I mean, that's a complaint that we've always had, right, with these Apple laptops, that over the years they've lost so many ports, and like it's come down to basically, I think there was one MacBook which got discontinued with just a single port, right?
Single port, yeah. The MacBook Adorable.
Yeah, with I think a headphone jack and a single port. Single USB type.
Which didn't even have Thunderbolt. It was just a USB-C port.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think Apple went like too far in that direction, and then they decided, okay, no, maybe we'll give two. So we're probably going to be happy with that.
So that's one concern that I have, that I use two external 4K displays with the current MacBook Pro. I don't know if the MacBook Air, the M1 MacBook Air will hold those two displays. We'll see.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like I still haven't made up my mind about it. I'm considering it, but ultimately it boils down to whether I should just pull out my credit card and actually go ahead with the purchase.
See, if they have like a return window of sorts in case it doesn't work out for your use case, you can always make use of that. No?
Yeah, so, good point.
Yeah, basically, I mean, see, in a normal situation, I would tell you just go to the store and see if, you know, this is supported or not or whatever. Because usually at Apple stores, they have all kinds of weird hardware lying around as well.
Yeah.
Which you can, you know, check for specific use cases. But right now, with the situation in the world, I guess this is the best possible way to test it out.
Something that also is a positive for the MacBook Air, in my opinion, is because ultimately the Mac that I will upgrade to, if I buy the Mac Mini today, I will have to throw it out and replace it with a pro level Mac. Mm. Whereas the MacBook Air, if I go for it right now, it can always be a secondary machine that I can carry around, and the pro machine sits at my desk.
Yeah, true that. So that reminds me, we haven't really spoken about the MacBook Pro with the M1 processor. So I think the starting price of that is 1,23,000 rupees, which is, again, like pretty similar to the MacBook Pro that was there earlier, right? If I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So with that machine, you get a fan in the laptop, whereas the MacBook Air is a fanless one. And apart from that, I really don't know, like, you know, how different it's going to be. Without testing, you can't really say, right? We just know what
Apple has. It has a touch bar.
Yeah, well, do you like touch bars? Because I don't think I do.
I maybe have used like 2% in the entire time I've had this.
That's what. So Apple really likes it. I know that. They are really attached to the idea of that touch bar. But I'm not entirely sure if I would use it if I had one. So there's that. But 13-inch display, are you happy with that? Or would you have wanted a 15-incher here at the same price point?
Ideally a 15-inch here. Because like the initial design that they're currently using is about 5 years old, I think. So if you see the PC side of things, we have very good laptops that have, you know, bezel-less designs or thinner bezels around it. So this seems outdated, but then this is just the first step of their transition. And they've said that the entire thing is going to take 2 years to transition from Intel to this thing.
Yeah.
So maybe in a year from now, we'll start seeing the new actual new industrial design coming out.
Yeah, let's hope so. For now, I think step one is just to have those processors on the same shell, and then the next step is probably like whatever new design language as well.
Yes.
So we'll see how that goes. But one thing I'm not too happy about is the limitation to with 16 GB of RAM on all these machines. Including
yeah, that's
the MacBook.
Sad, especially in the 13-inch MacBook Pro. If you're calling it a Pro machine, limiting it to just 16 GB at that price, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, well, since
it's
you
sad.
Spoke about price, first of all, I don't know why on the Apple website they have like two listings. Huh? One says that Apple M1 chip with, this is for the MacBook Pro 13-inch, Apple M1 chip with 8-core CPU and 8-core GPU, 256 GB storage at 1,23,000. And the same thing with 512 GB storage at 1,42,900. Like previously, they used to have these two listings. Why? Because one was some Intel Core i3 processor and one was Core i5
yeah.
or i5 and i7. This time, the difference is literally like some extra space. And if you click any of those machines, like let's say you click the 256 GB version and you want 512 GB of storage, you pay 20,000 extra anyway. Like that is the standard price. So I don't know why they have two listings there. That makes no sense to me. Whatsoever.
Yeah, I think this is just because they have the two SKUs which are ready to buy. So if you
yeah.
see the stores, maybe they have ready models in stock. But I don't know why it makes sense on the online store.
Yeah, exactly. Like I just can't justify it. But if you want 16 GB of RAM on your machine, like I think it's pretty much standard across Mac Mini, MacBook Air, and MacBook Pro. You pay
yeah.
20 grand extra.
Yes.
Like just for 8 GB RAM.
Which is ridiculous. I mean, the RAM is expensive irrespective whether it's an M1 Mac or a Intel Mac.
Hmm.
And the pricing, especially in India, is whack. Just like every other product they sell here. But
Yeah,
I
and
mean,
you know what? Like, see, in some ways, at least for this particular product, maybe we can like do a little bit of, you know, rotate backwards and try to justify decisions made by some companies. And maybe we can say that, okay, since this is like a new architecture for laptops and the RAM is integrated in the chipset itself, maybe that drives up the cost. but like, there's no way I can justify it for some of the other machines, such as that iMac, you know, where basically
yeah.
if you buy third-party RAM, it works just fine with the iMac as long as you know like what specifications are recommended. And it costs like much, much, much less. It's just crazy how little it costs compared to what Apple charges. So
and the iMac is the only machine left that lets you upgrade the RAM on your own.
Yeah. So yeah, that will probably be your new industrial design, Prishit. No upgrades on the RAM.
I'm dreading that.
Yeah. And someone was telling me that apparently you can't use Bootcamp on these machines and you can't run Windows. I don't know if it's true.
It is, it is. The current, like there's no way to run Windows virtually on a ARM machine.
Yeah, that's, well, understandable. I can see why it's happening. But it's still sad because, like recently I had taken a vacation after like a year. And during that vacation, like I went and used my friend's iMac where he had installed Windows to play Age of Empires, which is my all-time favorite game. So that game is not available on anything except Windows. So now to play that game, I'll have to buy a separate PC or a laptop. Crazy.
You could always do that.
Well, I mean, if I want a Mac for work, that also costs money, right? I can only afford one of these things. So.
Yeah, but this is a game that you really love. Come on, you can do that.
Yeah, I mean, let me think about that. 50,000 rupees for a 500 rupee game, which I will play for like a week and then forget about it for a year or so. Like every year I play Age of Empires for 1 week.
Easy decision.
Yeah, the answer is no. Very, very easily. I don't know like what people think, but ultimately I am a journalist and you know I have no black money or any other sources of income. This is my primary livelihood. So I think only one machine is in my budget. And well, my work machine has to take priority over there.
So how close are you to buying the Mac Mini?
Very, very far actually for multiple reasons. One is that the upgrades that I want, they are ridiculously expensive. I mean, there's no way I can justify that. Like, I'll actually just go to the site right now and I'll give people some, you know, maybe some insight into my mind, what happens to me when I go to the Apple store. So I click on the Mac Mini. Okay. I click on the base variant, seeing 64,900 starting price. I'm like, okay, fine. I can justify up to like 70, maybe 80,000 on one of these machines because I'm going to use it for like 5, 10 years. Like, I use my computers for a very long time. Like, my phones last me 4 years or so. So, you can imagine how long I would like to use my PCs and laptops. So, here you go. First thing on this site is memory. How much memory is right for you? Well, for me, 16 GB memory is right. I would ideally like 32, but 16 is the max I can get. Storage. Now, will I buy a Mac Mini, which is essentially going to be a desktop for me, with 256 GB of storage? Obviously, I will not buy that. Minimum is 1 TB. Okay, that adds another 40,000 rupees. I don't need any pre-installed software, no accessories, nothing. This alone costs me 1,25,000. 1 TB SSD and 8 GB extra RAM. So, this is why I will not buy the Mac Mini right now.
I'll tell you what though, it doesn't make sense. Like looking at the prices, it doesn't make sense upgrading the SSD. You might as well just get the Samsung T5 or the T7 and use that as an external SSD because that's much more VFM.
Yeah, that's true. So this does have like two USB ports at the back, the normal USB type A ports and two USB type C, which are probably Thunderbolt ports. And there's an Ethernet and there's an HDMI. So yeah, I guess one of these USB type C ports can hold an SSD. And since it's a desktop, it probably won't make a difference either, right?
Yeah, and plus the T5 and the T7 come with a USB-C to USB-C cable too,
Yeah.
and additional USB-C to USB-A cable, so you can use any of the ports that are available. And one more thing that they got rid of the 10 gigabit Ethernet option on the Mac Mini.
Yeah, it's just like the normal one, standard, whatever.
So a lot of people were buying Mac Minis as their headless server options or a media server in their homes, but without the 10 gig Ethernet, I don't know how much of a difference it's going to make.
Yeah, that's true. So even if I like take your advice and I buy an SSD separately, it's 85,000 without any change, like just 8 GB extra RAM. I mean, I'm not gonna buy an 8 GB Mac Mini because I'm gonna regret it later. I know that. So 16 GB RAM is the minimum. So 85,000 plus whatever it costs for the SSD, maybe 15,000, 20,000 for.
I think it's around 12,000 for the 1 TB model.
Ha, exactly. So 1 TB is what I'll need. So let's just say 15,000 round figures sake. So that's, 85 plus 15. Well, there you go. 1 lakh. So that's why I won't be buying this machine. Like, the starting price is very appealing, I will say that. If I could live with 8 GB of RAM, 65,000 would be more than enough. Like, I wouldn't be.
This is like them selling the 64 GB iPhone models, right? Like you have to
Yeah.
upgrade to the 120th or 256 to actually have a useful phone in your hand.
Yeah, I know, and you know what? Like, in those cases, like going from 64 to 128, the pricing kind of makes sense, right? If you look at the difference, it's about 10,000 rupees. Yeah, but
Yeah.
for 8 GB RAM, 20,000 rupees, in what world can I justify that?
In Apple's world.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I don't know. Like, see, to answer your question honestly, though, if I were to maybe be a student or something, if I were to like take up some open learning, distance learning course or something from one of those universities and get an education ID, if I were an actual student who needs a laptop, then that discount would make me consider it seriously.
Yeah, especially with all the softwares that you get for free.
Ha, I mean, even with or without the software, I don't really care that much, but the hardware alone makes a difference. Because see, I've bought so many things on the App Store, right, over the years, and also like on Mac, I've bought so many software from like indie developers and whatnot, that everything I need is already there. It's in place. So with a 20% discount, a 16 GB Mac Mini with 256 GB of storage, yeah, maybe that makes sense. Around 60-65 is what I'm willing to pay for it. But again, if you look at the MacBook Air and the MacBook Pro, man, come on. Like, 1 lakh directly spending on these things, it's not an easy decision for anybody. Like, I don't think, maybe like some people who buy iPhones every year in India, those people may be willing to buy it. But for most people, it's going to be a carefully considered decision.
I'm gonna wait and see what they do over the next year and what new products they announce, because the M1 is just the first step. And usually I don't recommend buying first generation of any product. So
But you bought the
you made me buy the HomePod. two of those.
I didn't ask you to buy two, right? I told you buy one.
You did. You especially told me to buy two of them because the pair is the best thing about the HomePod.
Yeah, true. But I was not spending my money, right?
That's what I blame you. And I specifically remember asking you this, that like the experience of using Siri on it and playing music through Apple Music, I hope I'm not going to have any issues with it. And that's the exact thing that's been bothering me for the last 3-4 days, that if I ask it to play anything from Apple Music, it just says, sorry, I have a problem with Apple Music.
And yeah, that's...
There's no way to troubleshoot that.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the problems with the HomePod is if something goes wrong, you basically like switch off the HomePod and switch it on again, or you reset the HomePod. There's nothing
there,
else you can
that.
Do. Yeah, but what you can, in your case, now I suspect that it's a bug with Apple Music authentication on your iPhone or on your Apple ID. So
I've tried everything that's I think is causing that. So I've reset the HomePods. I have turned them off and on, of course. I have logged out of the Apple Music account on my phone and logged back in. Still have the same issue.
Yeah, well, then just start bugging Apple support.
Yeah, at least I have in that 90-day period.
Yeah, they will definitely go out of their way to help you out. And
let's see. But otherwise, damn good speakers. I'm very happy with the sound quality, especially with the new Apple TV update that the HomePod speakers can be used as Apple TV speakers. It's just amazing.
Yeah, that's true. So, like I said, the problem with the HomePod is that, you know, if you troubleshoot anything, basically the answer is just like do a couple of things and hope and pray that everything goes better. Like, it's not like there's anything else you can do. And even accessing the HomePod's interface from your iPhone, from the Home app, it's a nightmare. Like, seriously, the Home app itself, if you look at the like HomePod icon over there, there's no way to tell that, okay, if you like long press it, there's some hidden settings that will show up and like you can actually change things.
It took me about half a day to realize that there's a settings icon that I have to scroll up to find it.
Yeah, so I mean, a lot of things are less than ideal. Like, especially what I've seen is that if things work right, just be happy they're working. But if things don't work properly, then yeah, you'll have to scratch your head quite a bit, you know, to see what's going on.
Speaking of HomePod, are you considering buying the Mini?
HomePod Mini? Absolutely not.
The reviews are out today, and like it's. The sound quality is surprisingly good for that size.
Yeah, but I already have a big HomePod, right? I'm waiting for a discount on the big HomePod to bring it closer to the HomePod Mini's price, and then I'll pick it up as my second one. I'm not going to buy two HomePod Minis for 20 grand, so that makes no sense for me right now.
But wouldn't you rather have the price of the HomePod Mini fall to about 15K for a pair?
If it happens, then I'll consider. Sure, why not? Ideally, for 10K, I would like two HomePod Minis because, you know, ultimately, like, I want to save money. But let's see, like, right now, I'm not interested in that. Like, the only use case I can see for that kind of speaker right now is, well, my parents' house doesn't have, like, a, you know, speaker of any kind lying around. So maybe I can put one of those there. But, yeah, that's like a niche use case.
You should always get a pair.
Yes. And you should never take your own advice. That's something I've learned from this conversation. Yeah. Anyway, coming back to the Mac. So the Air is the one that you're closest to buying, right?
As of now, yes. Because like I said, the Pro doesn't really make sense. And the Mac Mini also doesn't make sense.
So what configuration in the Air are you looking at?
16 GB RAM, definitely. And it comes with 512, so that's, the model I'm looking at. Because the one with the 256 GB SSD also has a 7-core GPU in it. So I figured I'll get the 8-core GPU model, which comes with 512 SSD. And I already have a Samsung T5 with me, which I've been using for a little over a year now. So, and the MacBook Pro that I currently have, I use it with 256 GB SSD built in. So running out of storage has not been a problem for me. So that's the configuration I'm eyeing right now. Do you want to speculate how soon the next product is going to drop?
In the Mac lineup? March.
Yeah. the 16 inch?
I'm not sure which one they'll launch first, 21 inch Mac, iMac or 16 inch MacBook Pro, but I'm pretty sure something will come in March or April, yeah, for that, you know, a mid-year refresh that they do for some products. So usually they drop a press release for new Macs. This time we'll probably have an event because this is the first time an M1 or M1X powered machine will be on the market. And I think they would want to talk about how much performance it gives, and they'll probably call like people from Adobe on stage to say how well they've optimized their apps for these latest MacBooks and what the rendering times are and things like that. So yeah,
yeah, they've already said the new Photoshop for the M1 or the Apple Silicon is going to land sometime next year, early next year.
Yeah.
So March event is also what I'm speculating. And that the 16 inch and the 21.5 inch iMac will get upgraded at the same time.
Yeah, so for those machines, right, Premiere Pro and After Effects rendering times are where it's at. They'll probably do some, you know, one of those, whatever, what do they call them? Bezos graphs, where you don't show any numbers, just show some like lines going up in the sky or something.
Like we are saying it's better, so it has to be better.
Yeah, exactly. So it's all relative, but we won't show you any figures to establish any basis. But, you know, like that's probably what they'll do. They'll show the rendering times are really fast on X, Y, and Z software. Or if they don't want to use Adobe, maybe they'll just show FCP or Logic Pro rendering times to convince people that these are good to buy. I think whatever has to happen before WWDC, because at WWDC
sure,
they would have a lot more to focus on, right? Next year is going to be another big year for all these Mac developers.
Yeah.
So.
And plus, they want their developers to have like these powerful machines as they go into WWDC.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a good look for the company, right? If no one has access to the hardware and people are supposed to be developing stuff for this. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes on that front. But yeah, March is when I'm expecting that update. And next year, what else? iPad Pro is also pending, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now the iPad Air is too close to the iPad Pro. So,
yeah.
March is should be that timeline as well.
Yeah, the real, like, I don't know, killer move would be to put an M-series chip on the iPad.
Wow. And maybe dual boot iOS and macOS.
I mean, why not? You can't do that technically. Like,
yeah, I mean, you can already connect it to the external display using the USB-C port, so might as well.
Yeah, and you think about it, right? iOS has added support for a mouse pointer and you can have Bluetooth keyboard. So basically, you just need to have like a Bluetooth mouse, Bluetooth keyboard, and you're ready to go. So. Yeah, it's never going to happen, in my opinion, though. I don't think you'll be
of
able
course
to
it.
officially use a boot camp for this.
A man can dream.
Yeah. But yeah, performance-wise, definitely, I think there is a case to be made. But I guess it's more about like optimizing iOS for A-series chips and macOS for M-series chips or something. I don't know. Like, again, not an expert here. Don't want to speculate and don't want to sound stupid, although I think I probably did already.
Like, I am really curious to see where they take the iPad Pro here on.
Yeah, it'll be a fun journey in the next few years. Actually, this is exactly the time when people should not be buying these products, you know. Because like you said, first of all, Gen 1. So just wait and see how things perform and how things hold up in the medium term at least. You know, 6-8 months, see how things go for other people on the M chips. And secondly, if you wait for 6 months, if you wait till March, you'll probably get to see what next for this hardware, and that would be a nice time to hop onto some of the tried and tested stuff, maybe.
True.
So yeah, we'll see how that goes. Anyway, so that was a fun chat yet again. Thank you so much for joining us, Prashit.
It's a pleasure always.
Yeah. Now I hope that there is an Apple event in December so that I can get you here again.
I would love to be back.
Yeah. So, well, that's it for this episode of Orbital. We'll be back with one more episode next week. And in the meantime, you can check us out on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. Go to Gadgets360.com for more coverage on all things Apple and obviously all things tech. But especially around macOS Bixer, we do have some articles over there and also about the new Macs. You can also see some videos on our YouTube channel about these new Macs and what was announced at the Apple event. A lot of helpful stuff is there everywhere you go. That's called Gadgets 360. So Finally, if you are listening to this podcast on any podcasting app such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or whichever other app that you use, please subscribe to this podcast. And if your app allows you to, rate it and review it as well. These things, they help us a lot. And thank you so much for listening. We'll be back with one more episode next week. Last thing I need to say is that if you want to follow Preshit on any other platform, you can go to Twitter. That's the best place to follow him. Preshit. That's his Twitter handle. And if you want to send any comments, feedback, complaints, you're welcome to write to us at podcast@gadgets360.com.